At Care Heating and Cooling, we put you first. You are the reason we're open 7 days a week and why it's easy to schedule service at careheatingandcooling.com. Your safety is why we check every gas furnace for carbon monoxide. And it's because of you that our techs are paid to fix your furnace, not sell you a new one. So it's no surprise that last year, Care was awarded a BBB Torch Award for Ethics, because at Care, we're committed to doing business right. Call Care at 1-800-COOLING when you need a company you can trust.
You're listening to live courtroom coverage of the trial of Karen Reed from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
The database is being created, but all of them have the same unique identifier. So it's the same entry. It's not more than one search of Hoslong to Dying Cold. If there was more than one search that had occurred where it became the top element in that database, we would see that. There are, as I mentioned, other carved from the database, from the wall file elements, such as the search for the YouTube video, It's Raining Men. Because at some point, that was the last viewed item in a tab when that tab was retired right before, also at 2:27 a.m., but a couple of seconds before the Hoslong to Die in Cold search. So we can see that that table is put to the rear. The newest tab that's open, which is why it's in the wall file, it's the most recent thing, because it's like our waffles and pancakes hasn't been delivered to the table yet. So it can sit in the wall file for that reason. It doesn't indicate it's deleted. The second reason is there is no user interaction in the interface to delete a tab. You can open and close a tab, and open and close tabs are tracked in that database. But you cannot delete a tab. There's no, if you were to pick up your iPhone, I know you don't have them right now, but if you were to pick up your iPhone and look, that wouldn't be a physical option you have in the interface. So it could not be deleted by a user through the interface for that most basic reason.
So a user, could they delete a tab if they wanted to?
There's no actual option to delete a tab. If for your web history, you could clear the cache, for example. Most of us are familiar with clearing the cache in your web history. You might do it because you don't want your kids to see what you searched, or maybe your kids don't want you to see what they searched, so they'll delete it. But you can't delete the tab history. It's just what tabs are there. The device is tracking that.
When you looked at the software, whether it was Axiom or Cellebrite, when you look just at the report, not the data itself, do either of those reports have any indication noting that that web or that Safari search is characterized as deleted?
The tools, Cellebrite denotes it with a red X, which means that it is recovered. Axiom indicates that it is carved. In the same paper that I referenced earlier that I authored, there's a chart in there that shows the distinction between how different tools. Some will use red X's, some will use question marks, some will list carved or parse. So every tool chooses to do that differently. That does not mean deleted. It means it needs further analysis.
Should an examiner who looks just at the reports of the software assume that if it is marked as recovered in Cellebrite or carved in Axiom, should
An examiner should never assume something's deleted without doing a manual examination.
The manual examination, is that a method that's used, that's generally accepted in the forensic data field?
The NIST Science Foundation paper, as well as the data set generation guidelines, both speak to conducting testing to verify and validate, and it states clearly that an examiner is to verify and validate findings and to determine meaning.
So given that you've used multiple tools to look at reports regarding this phrase, how long to die in cold, and have seen indications or characterizations of recovered and carved, and in addition to the fact that you actually analyzed the data, did you arrive at an opinion to a reasonable degree of scientific certainty whether or not the user deleted, any user, deleted the phrase, how long to die in cold?
Yes, if it's Hoslong to die in cold. Sorry, trying to clarify.
Pardon me. did you come to an opinion to a reasonable degree of scientific certainty whether any user deleted the phrase, how's long to die in cold?
Yes.
And what is your opinion?
My opinion is there was no deletion that occurred by the user because it is not something a user can delete.
Finally, I want to ask you about your analysis of the phone records on this phone attributed to Ms. McCabe. Did you go through an analysis of the phone logs and the phone records on the phone?
I analyzed the call logs and the phone logs on the device that I was given, that I was told belonged to Ms. McCabe, yes.
Would a suggestion or a claim that a user deleted irregularly a number of phone calls, would that be accurate or inaccurate in your experience?
It is inaccurate in this instance.
Can you explain to us why and how you came to that conclusion?
Yeah, this is actually really interesting because of what it appears in the forensics tools and additional artifacts that I looked at that are not parsed by the forensics tools. So the call logs, when you look at it, it appears, I don't remember if it's 8:57 or 8:59 a.m. in my mind at the moment, but approximately either 8:57 or 8:59 is the earliest phone call we see on the 29th of January. We see no call logs before, but we do see FaceTime logs before. So if an examiner, again, was making assumptions without testing or reviewing, the first assumption might be, well, things must have been deleted because there's data that exists before, but not current data. So then you have to go, how do phone logs work? And again, create test data and review. What the situation here is that there are three types of call logs on this particular phone. There's regular calls, incoming and outgoing. There are FaceTime video chats, incoming and outgoing, and FaceTime audio chats, incoming and outgoing. The storage for that is actually 200 records. So you can only store up to 200 of each. Now, if you were a user of, let's say, WhatsApp or Signal or Telegram, those would each count too, and they'd get their own logs. So when we look at the database for the number of calls, between 8:59 a.m. or 8:57, again, I apologize, I'm not looking at that precise time, on the 29th of January in 2022, there are exactly 200 calls still in that record from then until the imaging of the phone. There are 199 FaceTime video calls and only 27 FaceTime audio calls. So the question is, how do you validate that that's what's happening? So we actually have call logs that we can pick up in other places. For recent call logs in the last 7 to 30 days, depending on the exact version of the device and how the biomes are running, we can actually see incoming call logs, the number they go to, and if they're incoming or outgoing in the biomes. So we actually can see the history going back for the entirety of that day on January 29th till midnight. Again, my scope was from midnight until noon. So we can actually see all of the calls. They're just not on the call history state DB. Now, the call history state DB, from a user perspective, that button on your phone doesn't say call history. It actually says recents. And what it's determining is recents is the most recent 200 of each category. Now, how did I determine this further? There is a running log that exists in a phone. It lasts about 3 days. It's called the unified log. The unified log tracks multiple things that are happening on the phone. In manual analysis of the unified log from this phone, I can clearly see each time a 201st call comes in, the 200th call gets deleted. So it's constantly just the last 200 calls. It may not be typical that we see 200 calls in 3 days, but on this device, we do see 200 regular phone calls in the 3 days between 8:59 a.m. on the 29th and when the phone was imaged.
Do you have an opinion to a reasonable degree of scientific certainty whether there was any user deletions from the phone call log that morning?
Yes.
And what is that opinion?
The opinion is that I can see that it's done by the device itself utilizing unified logs, that the system is deleting the 201st call every time a new call is received or outgoing.
Thank you. I have no further questions.
All right, can I see counsel at sidebar regarding scheduling and a few things? All right, Ms. Hyde, I'm going to let the jurors have lunch. You can walk out after.
Thank you, Your Honor.
All rise for the court, please. Jurors, close your notebooks. Follow me.
Mr. McDermott?
I was told counsel wanted to see me at sidebar.
Yes.
You are unmuted.
All right, jurors, as you know, I think I told you in the beginning, one of my functions is to make sure that a case is tried fairly and efficiently and not to waste anybody's time. So if I get frustrated at lawyers about something, I try not to, and I don't think I am, but if I seem to cut somebody short, the lawyers are just doing it. When they request sidebar conferences, they're just doing the job. I am going to try and keep all sidebar conferences to a minimum, but the lawyers are just doing the job.
Okay.
All right, go ahead, Mr. Alessi, let's bring in a witness.
I just need a witness. Yes.
Good afternoon. Afternoon, Your Honor.
May I, Your Honor?
Yes.
Good afternoon, Ms. Hyde.
Good afternoon.
I notice you have some documents with you. Could you just state what is in front of you so I know that I might be able to help expedite this if I know what you have in front of you?
Absolutely. I have the first digital forensic analysis report I completed for the previous trial.
Do you have a date? You have several of them.
I do. It's the first one. I apologize. This is the one, I believe it's May. I don't remember the
May
day off the top of my head.
May of 2023,
obviously.
Yep.
Then I have the second one. This was the one that was used in the pretrial motion.
December 2024?
Yes, that's correct. Very nice. Then I have the third one. This is the final one regarding the phone that was identified as Ms. McCabe's.
Yes.
And then I have the fourth one, which is the phone of Mr. O'Keefe. And then I do have the opinion from State versus Huera, but if we don't need that, that's fine.
Okay, very well. I appreciate you telling me that. In March, and you recall on your direct examination, Attorney Brennan asked you questions going to your experience and qualifications. Do you recall that those questions?
Yes, I do.
You were involved in a case, is actually a murder trial in the state of Maryland in a case called State v. Herrera as recently as March of 2025, correct?
Correction, it's an attempted murder.
Attempted murder. And in that particular case, you had attempted to offer various opinions to the court, correct?
I object.
Yeah. You have to move along from this case, from what you're talking about. You have to move along from that Maryland case.
So with regard, do you recall another case from the state of Massachusetts, Arrington case, in which you submitted a pro se amicus? Do you recall that case?
I do.
And is it correct that in that case you submitted arguments on behalf of the prosecution in that case?
I submitted an amicus brief, which is not on behalf of anybody. It's as a friend of the court.
Right, but the friends of the court, you took a position in that, quote, friends of the court brief, correct?
Took a position on the evidence.
Right, and you, the position you took on the evidence was that the frequent location history data is reliable and should be used. Is that correct?
The statement is that frequent, I do not have that amicus in front of me. It has been a year and a half since I've read it. But that amicus does discuss frequent location history records. And I want to be clear, it speaks to both bias on both sides and negative and positive of submitting it. It was an unbiased writing and it was not specifically and supported a prosecution.
So you are testifying in this case on behalf of the prosecution, correct?
In this case, I was hired by the prosecution. Right. That is correct.
And the prosecution is paying you for your services in this case. Is that correct?
Yes.
And with regard to this case, you have been paid and have been on this case since May of 2023, correct?
That is correct.
With regard to the various reports that you have submitted in this case, you have mentioned one, which is a report with regard to the iPhone of John O'Keefe. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And you have, in that report, you have made a statement, have you not, that from 12:20:50 a.m. on January 29th of 2022 and after, there is no indication of interaction with the device. Is that correct?
There is no indication of user interaction with the device. There is all received until about 6:04 a.m. when there is again Apple Health data that picks up.
I'll ask it again. And you can feel free to turn to page 1529 in that report.
Page 15?
Page 15, 1529.
The report is.
Would you like
50
the page
pages.
Of the report or the page NDA number at the bottom? I can do either way.
I'm sorry. I thought you were saying page 15 in the report.
No. It's NDA 01529
yes.
Or page 7, whatever way
page
is.
Page 7, okay, Roger.
Okay, so page 7, you see there's a heading interactive phone activity, correct?
Yes.
And at the top it says, using a variety of different artifacts, we can see active interaction with the mobile device up until 12:20.
Yeah, you have to
slow down. Okay, sorry about that. I'm just trying to move it along, but I will be slower. I'll repeat, using a variety of different artifacts, we can see active interaction with the mobile device up until 12:20:50 a.m. ET. You see that statement?
Yes.
And then if you skip down, I'm going to skip a couple sentences mm-hmm. to the paragraph under the chart, and this is the key part.
Okay.
It says, from that point, and I'm understanding that point to be the 12:20:50 a.m., correct?
Mm-hmm.
You need to say yes or no, I'm sorry.
Yes.
There is no indication of interaction with the device. Did I read that correctly?
That is correct.
So I am going to... And you believe that statement is correct?
Until 6 something a.m.?
No, I'm sorry. I'm just asking if that statement is correct. Not if you have other information, but is that statement correct?
I object.
Can you answer that? Can you answer that, yes or no?
Did I read that correctly?
You read it correctly,
Thank
yes.
you. If we could, Your Honor, have a document that is put up already in evidence and publish Exhibit 39. And it will be, thank you. And if we could go to slide 82, please. And Ms. Hyde, if I could draw your attention to the entry that is, it says 3209 under app lock, but we know that the 00 is a 12. So it's 12:32:09 a.m. on January 29, 2022. And I'm going to read what it says in red, and this is a timeline of Mr. Whiffen. You know Mr. Whiffen?
I do know Mr. Whiffen.
And so he put in red, not us, he said, device locked with lock button for the last time. Do you see that?
I do.
And you know that to lock a phone, you actually have to hit the side button with regard to an iPhone to make it locked. You know that?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And that is an interaction with a phone, is it not?
I concur.
So that means that that interaction with the phone occurred at 12:32:09, correct?
I did not review that specific artifact. I cannot attest to Mr. Whiffen's exam, only to my own.
So do you have any reason to believe that what is in evidence in this case, that Mr. Whiffen has produced, and that you, do you have any basis to contest the fact that the device was locked with a lock button for the last time on the phone of John O'Keefe at 12:32:09 as you sit here?
I cannot contest it because I do not recall looking at that specific artifact.
Don't you think it would have been appropriate to be accurate as a digital forensic analyzer on the topic of the last of an indication of interaction with the device? Don't you think it would have been appropriate to look at that 12:32:09 in any of the tools you said you used on direct?
I did not correlate that artifact in my timeline.
I understand you didn't, and my question is, you make a statement. Well, let me back up. Do you understand that in this case, as in many cases, that matters of seconds in activity can be determinative of a case? Do you understand that from your experience?
Absolutely.
So it's important, therefore, to get activity right in any for any data forensic examiner when they're issuing reports about activity, particularly of a decedent. Is that important?
Absolutely.
So isn't it correct that the statement that you make on page 7 of your report, that from that point, 12:20:50, there is no indication of interaction with the device, is incorrect?
I cannot make that without going back and reviewing and validating the artifact you just produced from Mr. Whiffen. I would need to validate that in order to respond to that.
But as you sit here, you have no basis to contest what Mr. Whiffen has stated, that there was a lock button on the side of the phone of Mr. O'Keefe a full 12 minutes after you say there was no interaction with the device. Is that correct?
I don't. I would have to review that portion.
Is there anything that had prevented you from reviewing that in that data before you wrote this report?
Not that I can think of. I would have to go and re-review that.
My question is,
I don't know if that artifact, I have not reviewed that artifact, so I cannot speak to an artifact I have not reviewed, and I did not, that is not my report, that's Mr. Whiffen's report, so I cannot speak to that without going back and reviewing that evidence.
Isn't the interaction with the device, a lock button, readily available to you in the data that you have and had in your possession when you wrote this report?
Yes.
Thank you. If you could please turn to, in the same report, page 1528, which is your page number 6. And I just want you, please, to go to the, just put a placeholder in that. And if you could now just go to the conclusion, which is your page 50. Let me know when you're there.
I'm there.
So in the conclusion, you state that starting at 12:01 a.m. on January 29, 2022, the mobile phone was in use with activity of Waze navigating to 34 Fairview Drive, Canton, MA, active interaction with the screen, steps, audio playing text messages and calls until 12:31 a.m. EST on January 29, 2002. Did I read that correctly?
Yes.
That statement is also incorrect, isn't it?
On what basis?
Do you believe that statement is correct or incorrect?
I believe that the statement is correct regarding those artifacts that are mentioned in that statement, yes.
Okay, if you could please, if you could turn to page 1535 of the same report.
Okay. Can you give me my page number, please?
I will.
Thank you.
You're welcome. If you could turn to your page 13.
13, Roger. Yes, I'm there.
And do you see an entry that says 12:31:56, which is the same time in the conclusion, but I'm going to develop it.
I believe I know where you're going.
Hold on, I'm sorry. I need to ask the questions.
Yes.
I appreciate you looking to help, but if I could, I'd appreciate
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
Thank you. So it's got health steps, and it has steps 36, duration 20.398 seconds. Did I read that correctly?
That is absolutely correct.
So if you look at this data point in your report on page 13, the steps began at 12:31:56, but they ended 20.39 seconds later at 12:32:16. Is that correct?
That is correct.
So therefore, your statement in your conclusion, if you could go back to 50, and this is in your conclusion, your statement there is that the steps, the mobile phone's use was activity, including steps, until 12:31 a.m. EST. That should read until 12:32:16, correct?
It depends on your interpretation of interaction. As a user is walking, they're not actively interacting with their device. It's their movement that is. It's not direct interaction with the screen. But I would agree to your view that that could be interpreted as needing an additional 20 seconds.
Isn't the more correct way to state the conclusion that the active interaction, when it comes to steps, is not calibrating using the screen, but the phone is calculating steps taken. Isn't that correct?
That is correct, but that's not interactivity with the device.
I understand.
Yes.
But the sentence reads, includes steps, and the more accurate way to have stated that would have been to put 12:32:16 instead of 12:31 a.m., correct?
I'm sorry, you just said 12:30. I did this to the minute. Not to the second. Could you rephrase what you were stating?
I'll state it again.
I appreciate that.
You're welcome. So isn't the more correct way to state this important data point in your conclusion, instead of saying active interaction with the screen and steps, etc., until 12:31 a.m. EST, the 12:31 should be 12:32 because the steps that you have on your page 13, by what you concede, is the duration of 20 would have brought it to 12:32:16, correct?
I would state that depends. I believe either is a correct way to state that. Based on interactivity, based on your interpretation, your definition is more correct.
Okay, thank you. And it's not my interpretation. I'm reading from your report, correct?
Your interpretation that 12:32 is a more correct representation of interaction is based on your theory that interaction concludes when the steps end. And I'm saying both would be acceptable.
Okay, so let's follow up on this.
Sure.
Isn't it correct that it isn't my theory when the steps ended?
Oh, it's not,
if I could just finish,
because
if we talk over each other, the stenographer's not going to get both of us.
Agreed.
Thank you. So it's not my theory, it's just the simple math from an entry you've made on page 13 that the steps began at 12:31:56. They ended 20.398 seconds after that, which just doing the simple math is 12:32:16. Did I do the math correctly?
That is correct.
Okay,
I'm not
thank
debating
you.
That.
Thank you very much. So now what I'd like to do is to go to page 1528 of your report.
Do you have my page number for that? I'm sorry.
Yes, and I appreciate that you go page number, so I center in on the lower one, then I'll go immediately to the one. So it's your page 6, Ms. Hyde.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Just let me know when you're there.
I'm there.
If you could please go to Apple Health Data Steps, And we've been talking about steps because they're important enough that you put them in a report, correct?
That is correct.
So let's go to an important data point, therefore, in your report, in the chart, which is the second entry, which is, as you've stated, 12:21:10 a.m. Do you see that?
I do.
And you note under the data that John O'Keefe's phone registered 80 steps at 12:21:10. Did I read that correctly?
You did read that correctly.
And those 80 steps constituted 191.253 seconds, as you state, correct?
That is what is stored in that database, correct?
And is my math correct, so that the jury understands this perhaps a little better,
sure,
that 191.253 seconds equals 3.2 minutes?
Approximately, yes.
Approximately.
I'm doing the math in my head, so that's why I said approximately.
Right. Understood. So am I reading this entry correct, that you're stating what the data shows, that 80 steps were taken by the phone of Mr. whomever had the phone of Mr. O'Keefe? There were 80 steps taken at 12:21:10 a.m. on January 29, 2022, for a length of time of 3.2 minutes.
That is what the phone registered.
That's what the phone registered. Very well. Now what I'd like to do is to turn to the phone of Jennifer McCabe.
Okay.
And that is, for your reports, you don't date your reports, so I can't give you a date, but it says...
It's report three, I believe, is what
exactly.
You're looking at.
Exactly. It's three. And there is... Bear with me, I'm accommodating your page reference, and I'll have it soon for you. It is your page 7. And let me know when you are there.
I am there.
Are you aware of an issue regarding the time of an interactive phone activity on Jennifer McCabe's phone at 5:07 a.m. Are you aware of that issue, and particularly a communication to a person named Coco? Are you aware of that?
I would need to check in my report. May I turn to the page for that time?
And
I do see an outgoing call to someone labeled Coco at 5:07:21 a.m.
And you can tell that because in your report on page 11, you list a 5:07:21 a.m. call to a Coco as outgoing, correct?
Correct.
Have you discussed that call with any member of the Commonwealth?
No.
And again, this call is at 5:07 a.m. on January 29th of 2022, correct?
That is correct.
There is no duration listed for that call. And if you just follow my questions, if you can, yes or no. Is that correct? There's no duration yet listed.
Correct.
So what I want to do is to also note that that omission is not the only omission of durations from this report, or I'll state it differently, let me withdraw that. There is no population of the duration column for any call from 12:14:30 a.m. on January 29, 2022, all the way through this 5:07:21 call, and you don't start listing durations until 8:59:34 a.m. Is that correct?
Yes, and explainable. The artifact.
I understand,
yes.
Mr.
Okay.
Brennan can handle those on his redirect.
Absolutely.
So there's not a population of duration of calls after numerous early calls and phone, as you call it, interactive phone activity. Nothing populated in this report until 8:59:34. That's correct?
Yes.
All right. Now what I'd like to do is to turn to the 22740 artifact that was the subject of much discussion on Direct. And I am going to refer to that as an artifact. Is that a parlance that is familiar to you?
Yes.
And if I refer to that as a timestamp also, is that a parlance that's familiar to you?
Absolutely.
So I can refer to 22740 as a timestamp, and you would find that parlance acceptable?
Yes.
Thank you. So I'm going to do that. Just to keep it simple, I'm going to refer to it as a timestamp. Now, you've been on this case working for the Commonwealth since May of 2023, correct?
May 4th, 2023, that is correct.
So you've been on this case for 2 years, correct?
Not actively the entire time.
But you started on this case in May 2023. You issued a report in May of 2023, correct?
Correct.
You issued a report in December of 2024, correct?
Correct, after being rehired in November.
Right, and you issued more reports in 2025, correct?
That is correct.
So all of that activity has been on this case, correct?
All on this case,
that is correct. And that's been all on behalf of the prosecution, correct?
That is correct.
None of that work has been done on behalf of the defense, correct?
That is correct.
So let us now go to the timestamp of 22740. Your opinions on what is the meaning of that timestamp have varied from May of 2023 until today. Is that correct?
No, that is incorrect.
Let's cover that issue.
Sure.
Let's turn to your May 2023 report. Isn't it correct that the report and your findings were pursuant to a request from Detective Lieutenant Brian Tully?
Correct.
And how many interactions have you had with Lieutenant Detective Brian Tully on this case approximately?
I really don't know. I'd have to go look back at email and call logs.
Is it more than 5?
Yes.
Is it more than 10?
Yes.
Is it more than 20?
I don't know.
So somewhere between 10 and 20, would that be fair?
Again, I'd have to review my call logs. I'm not going to test.
But it was more than 10?
More than 10, I'm sure.
So the issue was your use of various forensic tools that revealed a timestamp, a 2:27:40 a.m. timestamp on January 29, 2022. Is that correct? Is that a fair characterization of an issue you looked at?
Correct.
So if you could go to page 5 of that report, and I would ask that you go to the last paragraph that starts with "in the instance of the Google search," and let me know when you're there.
I'm there.
So it reads, "in the instance of the Google search, house long to die in cold, that was recovered from the right ahead log associated with the X Browser State DB SQLite database with the timestamp of 2:27:40 a.m. was marked by Cellebrite as having this timestamp and being deleted." Did I read that correctly?
Fair. Yes.
So you use the words that Google search, house long to die in cold, was associated with the timestamp of 2:27:40 a.m. Isn't that what your words are in this report?
In that database, they are associated. That is correct.
Right. And in terms of page 3, if you could go back, of your report, under relevant findings, It starts with, there were two searches of interest that took place on the iOS device, and we're talking about Jennifer McCabe's device, correct?
The device that was identified to me as Jennifer McCabe's, yes.
That's identified to you as Jennifer McCabe. And it's what you talked about on direct examination as
Absolutely.
Her device, right?
Yes.
It's not a mystery as to whose it is. It's not like you don't know, right?
In direct, I also use the phrase identified to me as Jennifer McCabe's.
Right. But your conclusion is the device you've been working on and analyzing for 2 years is the device of Jennifer McCabe.
That is how it was identified to me.
Do you have a different conclusion as to whose device it is?
I always am very, very careful that I do not, as I did not assess the ownership. That was information that was given to me, not information that I personally assessed.
So are you uncertain as to whether the device you've been working on for 2 years is the phone of Jennifer
McCabe? The device that I have been working on for 2 years is the device that was identified to me by the Massachusetts State Police, Detective Tolley, as belonging to Jennifer McCabe, when I began working and received that device, as stated in the evidence analyzed section on this same page.
So let's go, and we're talking about, again, to get back to the center of gravity, we're talking about a timestamp of 2:27:40 a.m., correct?
That is correct.
And when you issued your first report in May of 2023, the timestamp you were looking at was 2:27:40 a.m., January 29, correct?
I was looking at multiple timestamps associated with the same two searches.
Right. So what I'd like to do, you said multiple timestamps. What times are in the multiple category?
What I was tasked to do was to look at the times, the Safari history, which includes Google searches, associated with those two search terms within that 12-hour period. That was the particular task, not the task of looking at the 2:27, just for clarity.
Right, and I appreciate that, but my question wasn't that. My question was, I thought I heard you on direct examination, which is why I repeated the question, what I heard, thought I heard on direct, but I'll ask you the question.
Sure.
You looked at and talked about on direct two potential times for a Safari search, which includes Google, one of which was 2:27:40 and the other one was 6:23 a.m. Is that correct?
I analyzed the meaning of those two timestamps.
Right. So we're just talking about two times, 2:27:40 and then 6:23. Is that correct?
So you are only talking then about the one that we're also talking about 6:24 a.m.
Okay. So we
Eastern
got
time for clarity, because some of these records are in UTC, some are in local.
Fair enough. So you've got 2:27:40. You've got 6:23 and you got 6:24 that you were looking at, correct?
There are other timestamps that exist in the realm of what I was looking at, but those ones, correct, are the ones that are relevant in this report.
Exactly. That's what we're talking about.
Okay,
we're just talking about this report.
Yes.
And so if you look under relevant findings, at the very bottom paragraph, you say, second sentence, a Google search for how long to die in cold at approximately 11:23 a.m., and then how long TIDIE in cold took place at 11:24.
That is in UTC. I apologize for not having the time stamp format there, but that is the UTC time. The UTC time equivalent in Eastern local time would be 6:23 and 6:24.
So to be clear, in your report, you wrote 11:23 a.m. and 11:24, and you didn't put UTC next
correct.
To it, did
they
you?
Should. You are correct. That should say UTC. That is a typo.
And there's a significant difference between 11:23 and 2:27:40, correct?
11:23 is UTC, so its equivalent in Eastern time would be 6:23. The artifact of 2:27 is already in local time, so that is in Eastern time. So what we would be comparing is 2:27 and 6:23 and 6:24 to be appropriate. They're taking into account the data storage and which ones are in UTC and which ones are in local time.
I understand your explanation now.
Perfect.
But in this report, There is no UTC time down. You have two additional times in addition to the two times, two different numbers added to the two, correct?
The UTC was a typo. It should say UTC next to those. And the chart shows all of those artifacts in EST and is clearly labeled that they're all in EST.
So you would agree that it's better stated to state it a different way than you have in your report?
I would say that both are equivalent. I should have had UTC there. But yes, it's easier for the audience to speak in EST. I would say forensics examiners typically communicate in UTC, but we translate for our reports. And I should have either communicated that in EST or included UTC. I will definitely contend that.
So in terms of your May 2023 report, your first report in this matter.
Yes.
You, on page 5, in the sentence underneath the block paragraph, state, in the instance of the Google search, house long to die in cold that was recovered from the write-ahead log associated with.
That's correct.
The X browser stage with a timestamp of 2027:40 a.m. was marked by Cellebrite as having this timestamp and being deleted. Did I read that correctly?
You read that correctly.
Now let's move ahead to page 7 of your report. Up at the top above conclusion. Importantly, at this time, you state, testing shows great inconsistency with timestamps parsed from this file. It is, however, definitive that the page existed in a tab.
Correct.
While a definitive reason as to why the timestamp is listing the time of 2:27:40 is unknown, the time is inconsistent with the timestamps associated with the same search. Did I read that correctly?
You did read it correctly.
So as of May 2023, you said the definitive reason as to why the timestamp is listed as 2:27:40 is unknown, correct? I'm just asking, is that what you wrote? Unknown.
I believe that the wording here is, I know I do use the word unknown. It says, while a definitive reason as to why the timestamp listing is a time of 02:27:40 is unknown. Sorry.
So you use the word unknown, your word in your report.
Yes.
Okay, so now what I'd like to do is to go on to the first proceeding in this matter. Do you remember giving testimony in a proceeding about a year ago under oath?
Yes, I do.
I am now going to go to that testimony and if at any point you would like to have a copy of that, if it's the honor, if your honor would like, I will do it, but I'm going to start and then we'll see how it goes. So, bear with me a moment. Do you recall in that testimony stating that you processed the image in several forensic tools? I use Cellebrite Physical Analyzer, and then you list many other tools. Do you remember giving that testimony?
We have a page.
I'm sorry, Mr. Brennan. I thought I'd given it 1-12. My apologies if I didn't. It's June 14, 2024. Page 1-12.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So, do you recall giving testimony about the various tools you use for this timestamp?
I do.
And do you recall stating that those tools were commonly used digital forensic tools that are very standard? Do you recall that?
I'd have to see the wording that I used at that exact time.
Would it be helpful to refresh your recollection if I showed you that?
It would be great. I would greatly appreciate that because I do not recall the precise wording, but I know that I spoke to the tools I used.
May I approach, Your Honor?
Yes. Mr. Lessie, you offered a transcript. Do you have the whole transcript?
I have the whole transcript, if that helps.
It might speed things along.
Agreed.
Okay.
We have one. I'll provide it. Ms. Hyde, I'm going to give you a transcript.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
So, may I approach, Your Honor?
Yes.
Thank you.
Mr. Brennan, transcript 112.
Thank you.
You're welcome. That's let me turn it over to you. It's going to be 112.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much. And you said we're on 112?
Yes, please.
Uh, 113, I see it. I see it's highlighted on the copy, so
right.
I figured
so
that's the
what
one.
I wanted to do, the reason I said 112 is that's where I started with my previous question. So I'm not going to repeat the question, but just to orient you so you have a fair context for the questioning.
Fair.
So I started at the bottom of 112, now I'm moving to 113, and I'm starting with line 7. Do you see that?
I do.
And it says, yes, they are commonly used digital forensic tools that are very standard for other forensic examiners to use on mobile exploitation. Did I read that correctly?
That is correct.
And then if you go down to line 22, you testified in that proceeding, so it's important to use multiple tools so you can see the results from different table, different data sets, and be able to compare those results and enhance those with manual analysis. Did I read that correctly?
You did, that's correct.
And then going up to page 114, line 5.
Slow down a little bit, Mr. Ellis.
I will, Your Honor, thank you. Yeah, that's very, very typical for me to process with multiple tools to ensure that I'm getting the most complete interpretation from forensic tools. Of course, you go beyond that with your analysis, but it's absolutely pertinent to that. Did I read that correctly?
That is correct.
And then lastly, for this section at page 114, 17, the Sanderson tool is meant to look at specific type of data structures called the SQLite database. SQLite databases are very nuanced, and this particular tool allows you to take that database and explore it at a deeper level than the other forensic tools allow. Did I read that correctly?
Yes, you did.
Thank you. Now if we can go to page 124 of the very same testimony. And feel free to go back a page just so you can see to page 123 that the topic is the 22740 timestamp associated with House Long to Die in Cold.
Can I have a moment just to review and get context?
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Page 123.13, but if you need to go back further, feel free.
Okay, I'm good. Thank you.
You're welcome. So what I want to do is start with page 1-23, and this is your testimony. On line 16, I have them in the timestamp order that is associated with the artifact. You use that word associated again, correct?
Correct.
Did I read that correctly?
Yes.
And that's associated with the Google search, House Long to Die in the Cold, in a 2:27:40 a.m. timestamp, correct?
That is correct.
Now if you turn the page of the testimony, you state back then that on page 124, line 1, the browser state DB is an artifact that speaks to when tabs are moved. So when you're using your browser and you open different tabs, you may have a search that this time pertains to the time that the tab moved. It could be lots of things. Did
Correct.
I read that correctly?
You did.
Not one thing, you said it could be lots of things, correct?
That is correct.
And then you go on in line 10, and you talk more, and then you go down to the bottom. You go down to line 20, and you testified, we cannot tell by this particular artifact what time that search occurred. Did
Absolutely.
I read that correctly?
That specifically pertaining to that particular artifact that give in browser state DB, that does not tell us what time a search occurred. That is correct.
Right. So it, you stated, and it was your statement then, we cannot tell by this particular artifact what time that search occurred, correct?
That particular artifact.
Okay, so now let's keep going.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to page 129 of this transcript,
I'm there.
At the top.
Sure.
Line one. 227 isn't necessarily one time when the tab was closed. That's in my report. I say it's undetermined. Mm-hmm. Remember we were just reading your undetermined
Absolutely.
In your May 23 report?
Correct.
Because there's a lot of things that can cause that time stamp to be there, including tab being moved, tab being minimized. The next sentence. I don't know exactly what caused the tab to get that particular entry, but it's not that timestamp is not indicative of the time of the search or any URL that's visited. But the first part of it is, I don't know exactly what caused the tab to get that particular entry. Did I read that correctly?
You read 100% correctly.
Thank you. Now if we could turn to page 130 of your testimony.
I need to object.
Right, I'll see you both.
Thank you for your patience, Ms. Hyde.
Absolutely, sir.
What I'd like to do is to go back to your testimony in the first proceeding. And we can go back to page 1-30.
I am there.
Thank you. So I am going to go back just because there's been some time and give some context. So we're talking about the 2:27:40 a.m. timestamp, correct, at this page location?
We've been talking about that for several pages. Yes, that's correct.
You're absolutely correct. We've been talking about it for several pages. And bear with me. I think this
no
may
problem.
Be the either the second to last or the last. So. There you testified with regard, this was when you're referring to an artifact, you've agreed that timestamp is a fair synonym. You say on line 5, that means it wasn't in the regular database, it was in the write-ahead log. And to Cellebrite's credit, that tool actually parsed the write-ahead mm-hmm. log and displayed it where the other tools did not. So did I read that correctly, number one?
You read it correctly.
So am I correct that here what you're stating is Cellebrite was actually showing the 2:27:40 a.m. timestamp at that time during your testimony in the first presentation?
On that date, that is correct,
okay,
yes.
Okay, so I just wanted to establish that. And
Absolutely.
You were giving Cellebrite credit for actually showing that timestamp at that time of 2:27:40 at the time of your testimony back in June of 2024, correct?
That is correct.
Okay, so now let's go to page 1-36.
136, you said?
136, yes.
Thank you.
And on line 12, you note that so Cellebrite and Magnet Axiom And then you elaborate, both Cellebrite Physical Analyzer, which is a specific tool, right, of Cellebrite, and Magnet Axiom, another specific tool, correct?
Correct.
Both have file system viewers that then have SQLite database viewers. And you, skipping down to line 17, you talk about they don't allow for deep analysis of the write-ahead logs, which is why in my analysis I use the specialized Sanderson Forensic Browser for SQLite, correct? I
read that is correct.
So is it fair to say that what you did up to this point in June of 2024 with regard to the 227:40 a.m. timestamp on January 29, 2022, you applied a variety of tools to analyze the issue of when did the Google search occur that you use the words associated with a Safari Google search, house long to die in the cold?
There's a little bit of wording I would correct there if that's okay.
Right, but so let me see if I can ask the question
That'd be great.
A different, more simple way.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So you used a variety of tools to analyze that house long to die in the cold search, correct?
Plus manual analysis and testing, yes.
Plus manual analysis and testing. Alrighty, now let's leave the testimony.
Okay.
And let's go to your next report. And your next report is December 2024. Do I have
the
chronology correct, Ms. Hyde?
That is correct.
So in December of 2024, just approximately 6 months ago, you issued another report, correct?
That is correct.
And you got the request for that report also from the Norfolk District Attorneys, correct?
That is correct.
And you state in regard, well, that report regarded the analysis of the same timestamp, correct?
Correct.
To 227:40 timestamp.
Mm-hmm.
And in that report, under relevant findings, you state, and this is December of 2024, so it's from your May 2023 report, it's approximately a year and a year and a half, is that approximately from your May 23rd report?
Approximately
a year and a half?
Yes.
So a year and a half after what we just reviewed in your May 23rd report, and then just months after the testimony of June, right? So about 6 months after
your 6 months later.
June testimony that we just went through, you went and looked at this issue again, correct?
That is correct.
And isn't it correct that when you were asked to look at the same timestamp in December of 2024, that Cellebrite removed the timestamp from their tools?
Cellebrite did remove that timestamp from the tool. That is correct.
Okay. And that timestamp was the subject of extensive reports and testimony that you participated in the first proceeding, correct?
That is correct.
And even though that timestamp, 227:40 a.m., that showed up in Cellebrite Tools, Magnet Forensic Axiom showed up, that was removed by Cellebrite, correct?
Cellebrite no longer reports it. The evidence is still in the data. I want to be clear just that it doesn't change the data. They just removed it from their automated parsing and reporting.
Right, so they
correct.
Removed it from their automated parsing and reporting. Correct?
Yes, they did. That is correct.
However, your former company, Magnet Forensic Axiom, still shows it.
Yeah. Magnet Axiom Forensics currently shows it as a carved artifact and still shows that and gives a description in their artifact reference guide as to what they believe causes that artifact.
I'm going to ask the question.
Yes, it does.
Magnet Axon Forensica, where you used to be the director of forensics.
That is correct.
Still shows that timestamp.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
But Cellebrite doesn't in the automated.
That is correct.
Tools.
That is correct in their automated parsing.
And you would agree that Magnet Forensics is a very reputable company, correct?
Correct.
Let's go back to your December 2024 report. Do you recall just moments ago when we went through your testimony in June of 2024 in the first proceeding where you stated various times how it was, I'll use the term best practices, to use multiple tools to analyze the timestamp?
Correct.
And you used many tools back then to analyze that timestamp. And you testified to those many tools on your direct examination, correct?
Correct, yes.
However, in December of 2024, when you returned to analyze the 22740 timestamp, how many tools did you use to analyze that timestamp? Can you give me just a number? How many tools?
At least four.
Well, in your report, let's go to your report, what your report says.
Mm-hmm.
So in your report, you state that under relevant findings, do you not, that review of data from Cellebrite shows that the artifact of a Google search from a Safari suspended state tab with the search term, house long to die in cold, and I'm going to skip over, in addition to my own previous report, no longer shows a last visited timestamp.
I think that is not clear. The skipping there makes it sound like my report no longer shows that, and that's not what's
stated. That's a fair statement. That's a fair statement. Let me rephrase it
this
way.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
There's more live courtroom coverage coming up. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a second from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.